There is a hymn written by a Presbyterian minister for today, Transfiguration Sunday, that captures the Transfiguration story that Laura read from Luke's gospel so well. It's sung to the tune of "This is my Father's World," and the first verse goes like this. The disciples followed Christ up a high mountain apart. He preached the word, but they had not heard the wisdom from his heart. We seek to follow Christ and listen for his call. Help us to hear, even though we fear our faith may prove too small. He preached the word, but they had not heard the wisdom from his heart. Today, our gospel reading begins in Luke chapter 9, verse 28, but just a few lines earlier in verse 22, Jesus tells his disciples of his coming death and resurrection. He says, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Now, here we are, the text says, just 8 days after Jesus told these things to the disciples. And Peter and the other disciples seem to be trying, and mostly failing, to understand what Jesus was talking about. Their confusion is probably pretty relatable to most of us. We are confused. We don't get it. We struggle to understand. First of all, what did Peter and James and John really witness up on that mountaintop? What even is this transfiguration? While Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white or red. So, like any good seminarian, I looked up the definition of transfiguration in my Bible dictionary this week, and this is what it said. The transfiguration has been understood as an instance of Jesus's true form as the Son of God breaking through his humanity, or providing a glimpse of the glory of the Son of God that will be revealed at the second coming. That really clears things up for us, doesn't it? Of the three disciples that Jesus takes with him up the mountain, Peter's reaction shows just how confusing and disorienting the whole experience was. Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. Imagine yourself in the disciples' shoes. You follow your leader up a mountain. You're tired, weighed down with sleep from the hike to get there. And then your friend leaves to go off and pray. And in your drowsy state, you watch as your friend becomes shiny and dazzling like the sun. And then two men who appear to be prophets from old show up and start talking with your friend. And then to close out this whole strange event, a voice from the clouds says, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." It's no wonder that we read that Peter and James and John keep silent and tell no one of what they saw up on the mountain. It's strange and confusing. It didn't make sense. Maybe it didn't even seem believable or real. Sounds a lot like our faith some days, doesn't it? Strange, confusing, sometimes hard to believe or hold on to. This week, I've been reflecting a lot upon the past year. See, this Wednesday will be Ash Wednesday, the start of the church season of Lent. And last year, it was halfway through this season of Lent that we stopped meeting in person and switched our church community to an almost exclusively online format. It's been a year since you and I have been dealing with COVID-19, a year since pretty much everything in our world got turned upside down. It has been a strange and confusing year. And perhaps for many of us, it has been a hard year to trust God and to trust and hold on to our faith in the midst of everything. Today, I am reminded that the disciples were told of Jesus's impending death and resurrection. We're told by Jesus himself that he was the Son of God, and they didn't understand it. They didn't understand what God was up to. Now, some 2,000 years later, and thanks to the gospel writers, we know that Jesus died and was raised. Through our faith, we believe and know that Jesus is the Son of God. But the world is still confusing, and what God is up to in our lives doesn't often seem much clearer. We are confused, and the past year has made our confusion and disorientation all the more apparent. Beloved, God shows up. God is present. God is here with each and all of us. In this transfiguration moment that we read about today, Peter, James, and John witness God with them in more ways than one. First, they see Jesus's divinity, his identity as God's son revealed as his face and clothing become dazzling white. And then as a cloud comes and overshadows them, God's presence is with them. God shows up twice in two forms. The transfiguration helps us to see how God has always been present and always will be present. And the transfiguration echoes back to how Jesus's story began and foreshadows how it will end. As Peter, James, and John are up there on the mountain with Jesus, we heard read that a cloud came and overshadowed them. Think back to the beginning of Luke's gospel that we heard on Christmas Eve. We heard that the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary and told her that she would bear God's son. And Gabriel says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Later, Gabriel goes on to say, "Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God." When Jesus is baptized, this naming as God's son comes again, a voice from the heavens saying, "This is my son, the beloved." An address that's matched here on this moment of transfiguration. "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." Again and again throughout the biblical story, God shows up. In the Old Testament with the prophets Moses and Elijah, God shows up first to Moses on Mount Horeb, appearing in a cloud as Moses receives the Ten Commandments, and then to Elijah on the mountain in the stillness as Elijah seeks safety. God shows up through the birth of Jesus, and then again at Jesus's baptism, and then now at the transfiguration, again and again through countless healings, all the way through to the worst thing that could happen, the crucifixion, and then in the hope and joy of the resurrection. God shows up, and God continues to show up for us too. It's much easier to see God on the mountaintop or in our mountaintop moments. Glory is easy to see in glorious moments. But God is there in the low moments, the failings, the worst days as well. It might feel like things have been falling apart in the world for a long time right now. COVID bringing death and vaccinations taking too long, political divisions pointing out the cracks and the shortcomings of society, violence and oppression illuminating our moral failings. But God is present and here and working still. At the end of our gospel reading, the disciples have tried to heal a boy with a demon, and they have failed. Jesus seems maybe a little annoyed with them, exasperatingly calling them faithless and perverse because they just can't seem to understand what's going on, can't seem to get it together. But Jesus doesn't leave them. Jesus doesn't give up on them. Instead, Jesus heals the boy and then explains to the disciples yet again that the Son of Man will be betrayed into human hands. Even when we feel like we've failed, even when we don't understand, even when we lose faith, God stays. God is still with us. God shows up and God sticks around. As we prepare this week to enter into the season of Lent, two more mountains are in Jesus' future, the Mount of Olives and Golgotha. On the Mount of Olives, Jesus will again be accompanied by his disciples, and again he will go up to a mountain to pray. At Golgotha, the Mount of the Crucifixion, Jesus is again not alone. He has two men with him, this time not Moses and Elijah, but two criminals. On that mountain, in a way, Jesus will be transfigured again. There's no bedazzling, shining light, but there, Jesus is shown to be a different kind of Messiah than the disciples are expecting or ready for. On the mountain of the Transfiguration, we catch a glimpse of the divinity of Jesus, the divine literally shining through. But in the crucifixion, we see what that divinity is for. It is for us. And it is a gift from the God who shows up in our lowest failings or sorrows or our highest mountaintops, promising daily to see us through. Amen.